I like to walk through the plains, hills, and mountains, around lakes, rivers, oceans, all over nature. Doing so, I am soaked in the music of whatever I see, step by step, sit by sit, inhale by inhale. Taken in the right tempo, it is magic. Even a bicycle misses the introspective moments that being on foot give to me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley with the thought for today from Campo, California. I like to walk through the plains, hills, mountains, around lakes, rivers, oceans, and all over nature. Doing so, I am soaked in the music of whatever I see step by step, sit by sit, inhale by inhale. Taken in the right tempo, it is magic. Even a bicycle misses the introspective moments that being on foot give to me. Here at the University of Healing, we share the idea that introspection is a very important tool to arriving at our oneness with the divine within. Meditation is to think about something, and meditation is a generalized word that people have used for a long, long time and try to make it say it means introspection too. But introspection is a totally different thing. We all fall into the trap of saying meditation, introspection, having them both be the same. Now, when we take a walk, and we walk through the plains and the hills, mountains around lakes, rivers, and oceans, and all over nature, are we listening within? We could, but we are not. We are listening without. We are listening to nature all about us. And we're soaked up in it, and it's lovely. I mean, as a human being goes, that's great. The poetry of the poets, great and small, write about the loveliness of human nature, of the physical world that we live in. And doing this sort of thinking and writing and walking, I am soaked in the music of whatever I see step by step, sit by sit, when I sit down and relax for a moment, inhale by inhale as I breathe in the wonderful air wherever I am. Taken in the right tempo, it is a magic. But even a bicycle misses this introspective moments that being on foot give to me. Now, it would seem that I'm promoting walking meditations, and walking meditations are good. Walking meditations are just what they mean to think about. But I'll be speaking more on this later. This morning as I was walking the path, I was thinking, how interesting. We have these Hindu gurus who sit in their position and think within and listen within and have no desire for any outer effects, no desire to talk to anybody or anything, which is fine. We have saints. We have people who are spiritually, I don't want to say illumined at this point, but who are spiritually outstanding. And these people sit in prayer, and they say formal prayers. They say, oh God, save us from this and protect us from that, and oh God, help the poor, and oh God, you know, like to an outside deity. And of course, the outside deity acts for them in the limited way that an outside deity would, with all the failures and all the limitations of a human attitude. Because we can only conceive of God as we conceive of ourselves. And if we are limited, God is limited, because that's all we'll call forth. Now, as I was walking along, I thought, now, if a person really wanted to walk their spiritual path, they would walk their spiritual path. Now, let's just use a human illustration. I am a man, and I am going to get married, and I'm going to have children, and I'm going to have a home, and I'm going to provide for my family as well as, my talents allow me. Now, before I get married, I've become engaged, and at the moment I become engaged, I should start working on preparing myself for my marriage. So, I leave my family, I leave my world, and I go off to some retreat where I will not be disturbed by people asking questions. What are you doing? You know, come play tennis with us, do this, do that. I go where I can be alone. And then when I'm alone, I say, all right, I know that I know that I know what it means to be a good father. And so I listen to the divine within me. And the divine within me says, you, by your thought, are the creator of your outer world. You cannot create your inner world. It's already perfect. You can only draw upon it, only utilize it, live it. So now I'm a new father. That is, I would like to be a new father. And I'm a husband, and I'm going to be a husband. And I'm planning for my marriage, and I'm going to get married. And so I take this time to listen within. Now, I say to myself, the miracles that I want to know. All right? I know what it means to be a perfect husband. I know what it means to respect myself and respect my wife. There is no thought, and I'm saying this negative thing here, but there is no thought that my wife would ever cheat on me, that I would ever cheat on my wife. That doesn't even enter my consciousness. There is no thought that there is another person on the face of this earth that is more right to be my wife than this woman that I have chosen. I have chosen the number one woman on earth to be my wife, and she has chosen the number one man. I have to know that too. Then, I don't want to please her. I want to please us. This is a mutual program now. We have a relationship, and my wife and I enjoy doing things together. We enjoy thinking together. We enjoy working together, but still we have time alone. But the reason we're married is because we want to spend time in each other's company, in each other's arms, so to speak. We want to spend time loving one another and sharing with one another like we never did with our parents or our brothers and sisters or anybody else in our world. Nobody else in our world were we ever as close to what we're going to be close to, this wife that I'm marrying. Okay. Is she the most beautiful girl in the world? Muck nix. Is she the most intelligent? Doesn't matter. Is she the most anything? There is no most. She is a reflection of me, of my harmony, my beauty, my intelligence, my wisdom, my goodness. And so that's all that I can see in her. It's me. The wonder of me, the wonder of the divine that's in me. Okay, now, this is what I'm preparing in my pre-marriage, if you will, meditation. Okay? Now, then I think, okay, now, inner wisdom, show me what button I must push so that I may open the book of child raising. And the inner button says, don't be silly. There is no inner button on child raising. You raise a child in keeping with your highest thought. You raise a child in keeping with your highest thought. Now, your highest thought is good and very good. Your highest thought is that you can do anything. Your wife can do anything. Naturally, then, your children also can do anything from the get-go, right from the time they're born and even before. So, as your child is gestating, you think to yourself, this is a genius. This is a magic person. This is a wonderful person. This person is fantastic. It's healthy and whole and perfect in every respect. It's an ideal person. It knows its divinity. So, you see, are these bad thoughts? Mm-mm. My goodness. Are these thoughts that you would dearly love to see brought forth in your children and your family? Mm-hmm. Well, that is the book of child raising. That is the book of child raising. It's not a book of Dr. Spock. There's nothing wrong with Dr. Spock, but it's not that book. Your child is not limited to human points. It's only in the human body to express its divinity. And so long as we keep thinking it's in the human body to be a human, it won't express that divinity. But when we expect it to express that divinity, and we know our divinity, because we're working on it. We're studying it. We're listening to it. What a wonderful family we would have. Would we be in competition to any other being on the face of the earth? No. Would everyone look at us and say, wow, how come you're so good? No, they wouldn't say that. They would just see us good, and we would see them good. We would see every other being on the face of the earth listening to their divine center and being divine. Now, you got to go to work. You got to fight wars. You got to do these things. Well, if in your heart you see the world at peace, if in your heart you see everyone enjoying themselves harmoniously and wonderfully, if in your heart you see the world a cooperative place, then what is there for you to do? You have already done all the work you can do. Now, I'd like to make a suggestion here that is very powerful. You have at your mental tip, if you could say that, at the tip of your mind, the greatest weapon, and let's change that to the greatest force in the universe, your thought. With your thought, there is love on earth, joy on earth, wonder on earth, magic on earth. We come to this earth because it's a great experience, not because of anything else. Now, if there are any people who don't get that message, we see them surrounded by our pure white light of love, and we see them having that message of the pure. Nobody wants to be hurt, not even masochists. No one wants to be hurt. No one wants to have someone hit them or injure them in any way. No one wants to have anyone speak unkindly to them. Everyone likes to have people speak the truth about them, of their glory and their wisdom and their genius. Everyone likes that. Now, if this is what everyone likes, why do we think some people don't like that? And the reason we think some people don't like that is because this is a bit of the charming race consciousness that's been built up over the years, and we have accepted it as truth. But the truth is, when we heal, we return to our original purity and integrity. It's our original purity and integrity is wholeness. And it's not sickness. Our original purity and integrity is love and peace and harmony and joy. Every beautiful concept that ever was given a name. Now, here I am, preparing to be a husband, preparing to be a father, preparing to be a citizen of the world. Why did I wait so long? Why didn't I have my mommy and daddy teach me these things when I was just a little punk, you know? Well, happily, my mother did teach me a lot of these things. And my dad, in his own way, taught me a lot of these things, too. I didn't always grab a hold of it and act on it. But as time goes on, I become more aware of where divinity is, where divinity lies. What is divinity? Divinity is just the fulfillment of God on earth. Now you say, wow, that's kind of limiting. No, divinity is that. Once you're divine, once you have touched base with who you really are, as far as a divine human being, that's something we can handle, then our divine spiritual being is the next step. And as a divine spiritual being, we are untouched by the world. We said here, I'm a master living in the world. I am spiritually whole. We are a master living in the world, untouched by the world around us, untouched by anything. And by being untouched, it is not there to touch us. It is not there to touch us. There is no war to touch us. There is no disease or famine or illness or limitation or unhappiness to touch us. It does not exist. Now you say, boy, are you a Pollyanna character? You're living in a make-believe world. Yeah. From some people's point of view, that's true. But now I let's return to these Hindus and other people around the world who spend a great deal of time in meditation and prayer. Why is it that these people who are so dedicated do not instantly jump off of their bottom and stand up and walk around and have a great time always. Why is it that they take years and years and years and years and years to do this? Because they're going to the wrong direction. And the direction is they are going outward instead of inward. Can you imagine yourself, in all logic and illogic, can you imagine yourself sitting on your seat with your legs folded and in a prayerful position for an hour or two or three? Okay, yes, you can. Now, what are you thinking while you're doing that? What are you thinking? Are you thinking the world is good? Are you thinking peace everywhere? Are you thinking love, joy, abundance everywhere? Are you thinking that everything is fantastic? And the answer is absolutely, categorically, no. Because that's not your nature. Your nature has been trained to think of the problems of the world and how you solve them. To think of the limitations that you've experienced and the limitations you might experience. That's what we've been trained. Now, what good does it do to sit for hours and hours in meditation if that is what goes on in our mind? And that is what goes on in our mind. All we are doing is compounding the thing that we're attempting to solve, if you will. Okay. So, I suggest to all of us that we create for ourselves a theater, a scenario, a script that's going to be that which is what we really would like to see. We'd like to see peace and harmony and joy and goodness and all these good things. So let's create a scenario, and we are the main character in it, of course. And in that scenario, we are constantly seeing the world at peace, constantly seeing the world good. Now, can you sit for 1 hour? You have an introspection coming up. And I notice you've shortened the introspection times and so forth because it isn't important to you. But can you sit for whatever your introspection time is and think only of the goodness in the universe, only of the things that you would call beautiful in life, in the human life? Can you think only of the beautiful human beings around you, only the beautiful life around you? And not thinking you're a master, superior to someone else, because you're not. You see, I'm going to say this very strongly. I'd like to really blast it out at you and say it so strong. You cannot be superior to somebody else, because everybody else is your reflection. You cannot be superior to somebody else, because the world is our reflection. We cannot be superior to that. You understand that? And that is true. That is true. You have said it, I have said it, everyone has said it, and yet very few people stop and recognize, hey, that's me. I had an email from a very lovely lady, and she gave me her laundry list of her problems. And I will answer her, and we'll use it in the gist. But I don't want to keep her laundry list active in her life. I want to see her, whatever she feels is her desire for herself. And last night, a call came through from your dearly beloved, and nobody else answered the phone, so I picked it up. Oh, what do I call you? Dr. Barley or Herb? I said, Herb will do. And she says, I don't have, I got problems, I don't have. I said, shut up. I said, you can't talk that way. You should go and do this and go and do that and go and do. I gave her all the garbage. And not garbage, but I mean, go see a financial counselor, go do this and go do that. And she said, well, that's not what your other practitioners say. And I said, that's right. Because you're lying. You're lying. You have infinite money available to you. You have stocks and bonds. You have no debts. You have chosen to have obligations that you're not paying. But you have the money. You could take the money right out of your resources and pay it, and you'd not have any obligation. But then you got to stop making them. You got to stop making those debts. Put away those credit cards and stop making it. And I told her this, and she was not too happy about it. She was not too happy because that seemed a very realistic solution. Now, I'm going to write her a letter, and you'll put the address on, and I'm going to say to her, you have called us many times, and you've paid no attention to what we say. And you have chosen to give us your garbage, which is not our choice to receive. Now, what we'd like to do, and of course, we've created you doing that, so we cannot give you the blame for what we have done. But what we'd like you to do is to see yourself abundant. See yourself independently wealthy. Oh, you've told me that before. See yourself abundant. See yourself independently wealthy. See yourself surrounded by blessings and love and goodness. Period. That is a big enough job for anybody. See that done for you and it'll be done. You understand? Now, if you choose to give us your laundry list of problems, then we are going to mentally respond to that, even though we choose not to. And we're going to see you sick and poor and limited and unhappy and in every miserable way in your life, because that's what you told us. And when Jesus talked to the people who came to him, he said, what would you like me to pray for you about or speak my word? And so they told him their limitations, and he says, okay, it is done unto you according to your belief. Now, well, then don't tell me that. You tell me the desire of your heart, the dream of your heart, the reality of your life, that you're whole and perfect, that you're beautiful, that you're fantastic. Now, all these people we've been talking to, including yourselves, have been married. You married somebody in your mind or heart, and you had a crush on somebody, and you thought of getting married whether you got married or not. But did you, did I, did we prepare ourselves for that marriage? No. We just let our hearts and minds go flitter, flitter, flitter. And we didn't give it any real responsibility. Now, are you going to give yourself the responsibility now to be a master, to be an introspective genius, if you will, to be aware of who you are? Do you listen to the divine within? We are practitioners here now. Do we listen to the divine within us as people call us on the phone or write letters to us for healings? Do we? Or do we just say, oh, that's her, this is the problem, that's him, that's the problem, that's them, this is the problem? And we create a problem for ourselves. We want to be like the guru sitting in meditation or introspection, and I don't choose to use all the Hindu terms for this because this is English. And so we use the English terms. And do you want to be like the guru, the teacher, the person in meditation and introspection, and listen to the divine within, turning your thought? You're going to hear from the divine within whatever is on your mind. And if what's on your mind is a negative condition, you're going to hear a negative condition from within, because it is part of the allness. And the allness does not say this is good and that's bad. You say that. The allness does not say it's bad for a tree to fall down. A tree should always be standing up. The allness says that's just the program that we have given to it, life and death. The allness doesn't say for the tree to lose leaves, oh, goodness, that's terrible. You know, it should never lose leaves. It should always have its lovely leaves. And we don't say that's terrible. We say that's just part of the program. Now, why don't we change our programs? Change our program to living in purity and goodness. Now, Sylvia thinks that I was kidding her, and she still thinks I'm kidding her, about where her brother is, you know. She doesn't know that that is real, that that is real, and he created that for himself because he wanted a time to be alone, a time to listen within, a time for his private moments. And you sort of snickered at it a little bit in your heart because you thought, well, that's Herb telling a story. Well, that is Herb telling a story, but it's a true story. I tell more true stories than people will ever know. I tell more true things than people will ever know, because people say, oh, that's just too patent. That's too easily that you arrived at that solution. Well, it doesn't take anything more than that. It doesn't take anything more than that. Now, I want you to be a storyteller too, to write the script of your life, write the script of your experiences, your world, the people that people your world and things like that, and write it good. Write it fun. Write it charming. You heard me read an article here and you said that's cold and dry. It's like a news report. And that's right, because you know why. My heart wasn't in it. It was just the facts. And the facts can come out very cold, but not super cold, just not warm, you know. There was no charm in it. Now, are you ready? Do you need to walk through the plains and the hills and the mountains around lakes and rivers? Do you need to see all of nature? Do you need to soak up the music of whatever I see step by step, sit by sit, inhale by inhale? Taken in the right tempo, it is magic. And it is magic that will distract you from who you are. Because if you look out at the lakes, the rivers, the mountains, and you see who you are, you see it good and very good, then yes, you are in charge. If you see anything in your life that you feel aghast at, you feel it's not very nice, then you created that. And you created it because it gave you a little charge, gave you a little adrenaline rush. It's a silly thing to do, but we do that. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have an adrenaline rush every time you think of your children, every time you think of the wonder that you have planted in their hearts, and the guidance that you gave to them to find their own spiritual insight? Wouldn't that be the time to have a real adrenaline rush? Wouldn't it be wonderful to look at the world and see it all peace and know that your words sponsored that? Because that's what they did. So, we want to be careful and only think, speak, and act in ways of the script that we write. And I've asked you to write these scripts in previous years. I've asked you to work on these things seriously over a long period of time. And you haven't chosen to do it because you said it was boring. Well, maybe it won't be so boring now. Maybe you'd like to try it now and see how the magic in you transforms your idea of who you are. Have a wonderful day. Know that I love you very much. And I love you always because you are my creation. I love you. I love you. I love you.